back into black society, and what do you end up with? Come back over the black folk, and what do you end up with? You have a situation here where you're watching these things and not able to do much more. Now, let me check here. Sydney, are you still online with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for calling us back in here. I was forgetting, I was trying to cut it off. I was about to stop in there and let them know that I was about to cut y'all off any minute now. But if we had a black equivalent of that, it would be different. You and I would be having a whole different conversation tonight. The problem is we don't. The problem is that black people as a group, we got folk in creative writing class, but they're coming out of it no better than they walked in. They're coming out no better than they walked in. Now, let me give you an example, and I'm not beating up on you, okay? I'm going to make an educated estimation based on what I've seen here. I'm not beating up on you. I'm having a teaching moment. Can you tell me, what is your favorite instance of dialogue from, and since we've been talking about that audio, from Game of Thrones, for example, what is your favorite instance of dialogue from that?
Oh, God, so many. Okay, so I like it when Joffrey is in the throne. I think this is season 3 after Tywin has won the war, or the battle, I'm sorry. So he's kind of leading the head of council, and there's a power struggle between him and Joffrey. And so Joffrey's sitting in the throne chair or whatever, and he says, "Grandfather, I'd like to ask you about the small council meetings." And then basically he says, "Why haven't I been invited?" And then the grandfather walks up, like, all slowly to the throne, and he goes, "We could arrange to have someone carry you if you like." And then Joffrey leans back, and it's a good acting moment because he's kind of, you know, filling them out, still trying to seem have this bravado about him. And he goes, "No, that's quite all right." But that wasn't really
right now. Okay, and that was my point right there. I'm not beating up on you, okay? I want you to understand what you just described had nothing to do with dialogue. It was a scene. It was an incident, but that had nothing to do with dialogue.
I have more dialogue.
No, what I'm saying is that what you said, but what you just described as what you valued from it actually did not have anything to do with dialogue, which is what you said at the end of it was, I guess it doesn't actually have to do with dialogue, yet you're right, it doesn't. What you were valuing from it actually didn't have anything to do with the dialogue. Now, what you are referring to is Tywin Lannister, the patriarch of the Lannister family. In the scene that you're referring to, Tywin is basically flexing his muscles as the king's hand, that Joffrey is just a figurehead. He is the guy who actually runs the kingdom from behind the scenes, and that was his plan the whole time, that these grandchildren are just figureheads. He is the actual person who runs the kingdom, kind of like Dick Cheney to George Bush. And that was the point that he was that was the point of that was when he had made it to King's Landing, Joffrey was upset because he was like, "Well, hell, I'm supposed to be the king, me." And Tywin was like, "Yes, we're having the council meetings. Well, why haven't I been included in any of them? I'm the king. Shouldn't I be there?" "Oh, I'm sure you have much more important things to do." And that was when Joffrey started bucking up to Tywin. That was what happened in that scene. Was that Joffrey was trying to was giving back talk. And if you'll listen, in the previous episode, he had pulled that little stunt with everybody. Tyrion, Jaime, his mother. The point of that scene, the point of the producers and George Martin putting that scene in there, was that Tywin Lannister was demonstrating to all of you that I'm not your mother. I'm not here to ask for power. I am the power. And I don't have to explain myself to you. And what he was doing was, in that scene, you said he was slowly approaching the throne. There are steps that lead up to the Iron Throne, and every time Joffrey backtalked, Tywin would make another step up towards closer to Joffrey. He was not like everyone else. Everyone else backed down from Joffrey. Tywin is the only one who ever got in his face, and every time Joffrey talked back, he would take another step up those steps to get. And that was why when he takes the final step and is standing right in front of Joffrey, when he's talking about we hold the meetings in Tywin's chambers, which are up the ladder and up in the tower. Tywin is like, well, I don't like going up in the tower. I can arrange to have you carried. In other words, well, I'm not moving them. But if you really want to come, sure. And what he was telling Joffrey is, you and I understand it. He does not want you there. And guess what? Joffrey understood. He does not want you there. And if you keep this up, something might happen to you. They've already seen to the murder of your supposed father. What makes you think you won't be next? And that was the real... Now, you liked the scene itself, but you didn't really point to any dialogue in it except to say, we can have you carried. It was a good scene, don't get me wrong. Good line in there also, but I don't think that was necessarily a moment of dialogue, though. But, case in point, I'm not going to throw it out because you like it, though. What I am going to say, though, is that when I speak about dialogue in a story... Most black people do not actually understand what dialogue is. They don't actually understand what it is. How can you create it yourself if you do not even know or understand what it is? There are only two reasons that a character should speak in a story. Just two. Did you know that? Most people don't. Most black writers think the character should talk because there is no action to be performed in this scene. So the characters should throw words back and forth at each other, which is what black writers do. People just hurl words at each other. They don't have any relation to each other. Dialogue, first of all, when it's dialogue between two people, it's supposed to be related to two people. The sentences they speak are supposed to be related to each other, first of all. Black writers have people open up their mouths with sentences that are not related to each other at all. Pathetic. But then again, when you lack a grasp of the English language, can't construct a sentence, much less a sentence between two people. How can you get these two people to play tennis with each other when you don't even know what rackets are for? There are only two reasons to have dialogue in a story. Number one is to give the reader or the listener information. Information that they did not have before. But if your character is opening their mouth, they're supposed to be giving information. If they're not doing that, you're probably just got them throwing words at each other, and it sucks. The other reason for dialogue is that it is supposed to help us to understand the character of that particular player or character at that time. So the scene when Tywin says, we can arrange to have you carried, that dialogue develops for us that Tywin is running the kingdom from behind the throne. And he's making it clear to his grandson that that's why I'm here. You're not here to run the kingdom. I am. And that was what made that a good scene for all of you, is because he gave you information about himself and about the story that you did not previously have. He was not, you understood after that scene, you understood that Tywin Lannister was not just a spectator. He considers himself to be the power in the kingdom. He's not a spectator. And when he speaks, he is giving you information or giving you information about his character. And that's why most black writers fail, because their writing does neither. Narrators are speaking all prosaic and giving you no information. They think they're writing. They're telling you about their crappy childhood. That's not dialogue. It's not storytelling. You're supposed to be giving us information that we did not previously have. Now, what I just explained to you was what makes for great dialogue. Now, there are other things that will just give you, quote, dialogue, but all great dialogue has one or both of those characteristics. And when you do both, you've nailed it. That's how you know if the dialogue that you are giving is useless. And most black writers, since they do not have a grasp of the English language, most of the sentences they put together are useless. This is brutal honesty night tonight, folks. Most of you black writers out there, you can't make a story because of your dialogue. First of all, you don't know what a story is. A story is composed of three parts: a beginning, a climax, and a resolution. Did you get that? Okay, I'm trying to keep one hand free over there. I thought you were doing something. Okay, try to keep one hand on the phone at least. Whatever you're doing over there, at least just keep one hand on the phone. If you took a writing class, then they taught you that all stories are composed of three basic parts: a beginning, a climax, and a resolution. For those of you who are listening, however, understand, did you notice what I didn't say? I didn't say a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's a beginning, a climax, and a resolution. Spike Lee's movies, but all of his early movies were chewed up garbage. Because his movies were a series of running incidents. They were not a story. They did not have a beginning, a climax, and a resolution until Jungle Fever. Before then, everything was just a mishmash of incidents. Zane's novels are ridiculous because they are not a story. They are just like porn, a mishmash of incidents. An incident here and an incident there. But there is no real story. Therefore, I am not really compelled to come back and buy you next month because it wasn't like there was a story to follow this month. You buy her books when you are a female who does not have a man who is giving you sexual attention. You get another female who play acts with you. Most black writers, what they do doesn't call it as writing. Go ahead.
I'm not sure about the resolution thing. I mean, in a sense, you want to always feel hungry, and resolution kind of implies a sense of satiation. So,
First of all, it's not up for debate, first of all. And I'm not trying to be a jerk right now. What I mean is that's the definition of a story. If you remove any one of those parts, you don't have a story anymore. You have an incident. But you don't have a story. I got up for work this morning. Beginning. I saw a car wreck. Climax. And the end. Whoa. That's not a story. Incident. You are describing for me an event that happened, but you are not telling me a story. You are just describing an incident. I walked outside. An apple fell from the tree. A bird started eating the apple. Beginning, climax, no resolution. I walked outside. And it was beautiful watching the sunset. Beginning. Resolution. No climax. We don't have a story there. You have an incident. And as a writer, you have to understand the difference between an incident and a story. Because you cannot cultivate a story if you are not aware of how that occurs. Now, based on the scene that you and I just gave from Game of Thrones, what is the story there? There was once a young prince named Joffrey, who was under the tutelage of his cruel grandfather, Tywin Lannister. Joffrey wanted to assert himself as the king, But Tywin really ran the kingdom from behind the throne. One day, Joffrey decided to stand up to his grandfather and demand that he be included in council meetings. He said, "Grandfather, I want to be in the council meetings, but you keep them in the tower, which is too far away." His grandfather said, "Then we can arrange to have you carried." Joffrey never spoke back to his grandfather again after that. Beginning, there once was a prince named Joffrey. Climax, Joffrey stood up to his grandpa one day. Resolution, grandpa said, "Forget about it," and Joffrey never questioned him again. Now, does that mean that the characters die? No. Does that mean that we're done with the characters? No. But guess what? We have a story. Now, if you want to elaborate on the story, you can. But you actually have one now that can be elaborated on. You remove any one of those elements, and you don't have a story. And if you don't have a story, guess what? You don't have great dialogue. You just have people hurling words at each other. Case in point, a Zane novel. Boy meets girl. Girl works at advertising firm, law firm, car dealership, bakery shop. It don't damn well matter. Boy meets girl. Girl thinks boy is hot. Boy and girl have nasty, raunchy, explicitly described sex. Girl tries to decide if she wants to continue sleeping with men or women. The end. And then she wonders why even when they tried to adapt her garbage for TV, it didn't work. It can't work. There is no story there. And unfortunately, you're not able to dumb down the audience enough to make believe that there is one. Not unless they just really are stupid or they just really want to believe there's one. But the truth is, more black people watch Game of Thrones than would ever watch Zane. The same people who read her books are the same people who would turn off her TV show when she had one so they could watch Game of Thrones. What does that tell you? Most of the black hood rats and stuff you see online, there were two things I noticed. They talked about Lord of the Rings and they talked about Game of Thrones. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just downright amazing? She's been shocked in the silence, everybody.
I'm reflecting.
Reflection is good. I wish that the black males who called in here would do that more often.
By the
way, brothers, there's one other thing I wanted to throw in here right quick. By the way, brothers, do you understand that? Did you notice the way that she behaved about that? Mona, did you notice the way that he behaved about that when I corrected her on things? Isn't it amazing that she was less temperamental and less overly emotional and erratic than the guys were?
Yes, sir.
That is just atrocious. That's humiliating. It's disgraceful is what it is. It's a disgrace that as a female, she can be instructed and corrected, and the males want to yell and scream even when they're dead on. Now, she's going to walk away with some information tonight. If she ever talks to them about, I don't know what they were teaching her in writing class. Apparently, they didn't teach her about the three basic parts of a story. But now she knows what they are, and she'll probably be smarter than her next professor that she talks to if they do not discuss the three parts of a story, which they probably did. She might have missed it, but you'll be, if they don't, you at least got a leg up on everybody else in the class.
So with that example, are you saying that a black audience can appreciate quality quality writing. It's just not out there.
Of course. A dumbass a dumbass can appreciate intelligence. The default state of humanity is not ignorance. The default state of humanity is knowledge. But people will settle for ignorance if you give them no other choices. That is why black males try to cultivate the ability to talk and bull jive and drone on and on and on and on. Because they hope that you are gullible enough to believe that the fact that he is continuing to talk means that he knows something. And that's why Jasmine is wasting her damn life with that no good nigga sitting at her home.
Did he call you?
Yes, I did. Would you like for me to repeat it? She's wasting her life with him, breathing oxygen in her home. Because he talks. And he talks, and he continues to talk, and he just keeps talking. And when you ask him questions, he doesn't answer your questions. And that was your first clue that you don't need to be listening to him. When you asked a question, he could not give you an answer. People call me and ask me questions all day, and I answer them. That guy was asked a direct question about a subject that he raised. He said that he does not believe in white supremacy. I asked him, can you define what white supremacy is? He says, I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, I don't believe it exists. And then you notice he kept talking and kept talking. He tried to talk. He did that the last time he called in. He tried to talk over me. He just kept talking because he was hoping that all of you as females are stupid enough that if he continues talking and if he can word a sentence in some way that defies your comprehension, that you will just believe that, I didn't quite understand what he said, but that must be because he's so smart that it's over my head. Instead of you saying, wait a minute, if you were really smart, you would be able to explain that to me on a basic level that I could understand it. And you could do that. So right now you're trying to bulldoze me here. You're trying to bulldoze me here. You don't actually have a point. But he hopes if he continues to talk, you will just assume that there was a point in there that he was brilliant enough to give, but you just weren't quick enough to catch on to. But by default, people are intelligent, or at least by default, people gravitate to intelligence. I cannot tell you how many dumb-ass females have begged me for my phone number over the last 3 decades. Females who can barely form a sentence. Females who thought they were smart, and then I got on the phone with them, and they can't say 2 sentences, but they love hearing me speak. And they talk about, I always learn something when you say something. Then I ask them, what did you learn? But the point is, they gravitate to intelligence. People gravitate to intelligence. And that's why you got all these hustling-ass Negroes out here who become, quote, preachers. Because he doesn't know much about life, but the Bible gives him enough ammunition that he can seem like he's intelligent about something, when in fact he's only espousing his opinion. He's not giving you knowledge. Just his opinion. But by default, people gravitate to intelligence. It doesn't mean we don't have con men and hustlers out here. But by default, people gravitate to knowledge. And your audience knows knowledge when they see it. They know what it is when they see it. I don't care who you were. When you went to go see The Matrix, you understood what a man-machine interface was. When you saw Star Trek, you understood what faster than the speed of light was. Even if you never met Einstein, if you didn't know that Einstein was the basis of that, even if you didn't know it, you understood the concept when you left. And you liked it. Is why stories about 2 Negroes shooting each other in the hood make $50 million, and Star Trek can make $1 billion. And if your customers have to choose between Hood Tales and Star Trek, guess who's going to win? It's not because Star Trek is better funded. It's because one is a story and the other one is not. It's like Elijah Muhammad said in the Malcolm X movie, water foul. If you give people dirty water, if you give a man dirty water, he'll drink it if he doesn't have a choice. But if you give a man clean water, give him a choice between clean water and dirty water, he will take the clean every time. Black people are not, it's like any other business, by the way. Black people do not, we don't give our people a choice between black excellence and white supremacy. You notice I didn't say between black and white. I said between black excellence and white supremacy. Game of Thrones is white supremacy. Breaking Bad is white supremacy. Walking Dead is white supremacy. Those are white supremacy. But black people don't have a choice. You can either go there or turn the TV off. Some people would say turn the TV off. The problem is we ain't got a whole lot more going on after that. But you know what? It's the same thing when you go to the restaurants. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to pretend that that's not the case. So I'm sorry to hurt your feelings. Not. When you go to a black-owned restaurant, you already know what to expect before you get there. It's going to be old. It's going to be dirty. And customer service? Should we start laughing now or should we wait till we get our receipts? You see, it doesn't matter whether it's literature, screenwriting, restaurants, customer service, car repair, apartment complex. Black people have become the people of low expectations and low standards. We do not believe in the concept of black excellence. So when somebody like me or Tariq says, let's make a documentary, folks think we're walking around with our handy cam. And then we say, no, we're talking about we high definition, we have color correction, what do you mean color correction? Oh, God. Never mind, it's a filmmaking technique.
But where do you think that comes from? Is it intrinsic? Does it start with the parenting thing?
Yeah.
I'm talking about in this day and age. What is the excuse? Because, I mean, in this day and age, say if you're a black owner and you have a restaurant, you can't just take the excuse, well, you know, this is what I'm expected to do. This is what people expect of me. If you're an owner, you're going to think, I want the best restaurant. I see how such and such does it, this and that. But that's not what we see reflected in society.
Black people have become the people of low expectations and low standards. So when we start a black business, the black business reflects our own expectations and our standards. The business reflects how we see ourselves. Let me tell you, at 6'2", Don Peebles, he's about 6'2", 6'3". I mean, Don's not a short guy, by the way, y'all. Don is not a short man. Neither is his wife. Let me tell you. Those are a couple of tall human beings there. Don has a very nice office in Midtown Manhattan. Let me say that one more time. Don Peebles has a very nice office in Midtown Manhattan. And I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I saw and where I've been. I showed you the damn view of it in the wake-up call video, by the way. I showed you the view from the street. When you see that panning shot where I got the camera going up from the street, that was the view from his office. on just one side of it, by the way, because he really, like, takes up the whole four. So I actually could have gone to the other end of the building so you could see the east side of New York. Corporation is run out of. And that is the standard that Don Peebles has for himself. That's his standard for himself, and his office reflects his standards. And the average black business reflects the standards of the person who owns it also. Most people on Blog Talk, they just call up on their telephones. Why? Because that's what Blog Talk gave them. I was one of the very first people who said, I do not transmit over Blog Talk. I transmit over one of the live streaming services. And everybody else, the fraud and everybody else, they followed me after I did it. But you can go look up on the Black Channel. None of those people were doing this before I was doing it. None of them. None of them. I set the template that everybody learned from because I wanted to use a better quality of sound and microphone. I use a studio condenser microphone like you find in your recording studios. I wanted to raise the standard for the quality of what people hear. And Blog Talk wasn't going to cut it. Yeah, they make it easy, but I want better than easy. I want better than that. Now everybody else wants to do what I started doing. And I'm not upset about that. I raised the bar. And other people started raising the bar for themselves. Okay, it's caught on. Cool. Fine. They don't have to shout me out and everything like that. It is what it is what it is. I raised the bar. I raised the bar. But that's the standard I have for me. The bar in my mind was already raised. I took a look at what the white guys were doing and saw that, hey, they're doing it better than, they ain't just doing Blog Talk. I said, I got to at least meet that standard. I have to at least meet that. Black people do not have a problem bringing each other a substandard product. Black people don't have a problem with that. They don't have a problem bringing each other a substandard product. A Negro with no job has no problem walking up on a female fit competitor. Talking about what's up, Shouty. Shouty, what your name is. And next time somebody walks up to y'all and says that right there, y'all need to tell them, well, my first name is Kissy. What's your last name, Shouty? My ass. See if he takes a hint. But black women with three and four damn kids will run up on a single black man who's middle class and a doctor or a lawyer. She has no problem bringing this man a substandard product because she does not have high expectations for herself. So she thinks it's perfectly normal to walk up on someone else with this garbage. As a black man, I consider it that I owe it to my people to present myself in the best way possible. I firmly believe that. And I hold that standard. So as black people, you teach that in the home to your children. It's amazing. We can go in white folks' houses and we don't have a problem being spick and span, but you do not teach your children that.
Teach them
that they should be in a house that has high ceilings and spacious floors and floors so clean you can eat off of them.
See, with my peers, I see a lot of, you know, my male friends aspire to have these things. I hear them talk about what they're going to have, what they want to have, the nicest car, house, et cetera. But I don't see any personality traits develop to get them there.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's a welfare mindset. I want a car, okay? I want, well, I'm not going to say. He might want arms that are 18 inches around, hell. Everybody wants goodies. Everybody wants gimme gifts. That's not saying nothing. Negro, do you deserve it? What have you done to get it? Because a car is something that is built for you by somebody else. A business is something that you built yourself. Your car is built to the specifications of the car manufacturer. How nice it is has nothing to do with you. Now, when you build a business, I find out what kind of standards you have for yourself when you build a business. And what we find out is that Negroes ain't really got no standards. White folk will wait until they can get a $250,000 loan and build a structure from the ground up that is built exactly the way they want it. Black people will get their credit together to get a $250,000 loan, and they will immediately go out and go buy a house and a car.
That's why I think it's more psychological aspects more so than...
Well, that's what I mean. It's a value system. But that's what I mean by it's a value system. You teach your son to be okay living like that. You teach your daughter that, oh, well, a couple of bastard kids, that don't make you undesirable. You teach your children how to be substandard people. Values have nothing to do with how much money your parents had. Believing that your business is supposed to be at least, at the very least, cleanest, that tells me how you were raised. That tells me how you were raised. I mean, it just goes hand in hand. Females who got dirty houses have dirty cars, have dirty kids. You give her a business, she got a dirty business. Mona, you work with plenty of females. Am I lying?
You are absolutely telling the truth.
Okay. Sydney, you're a female. You're a young female. But am I wrong if I just said?
Unfortunately not.
Okay. Just want to make sure. You show, I mean, guys online, they ask the wrong damn things. They really do. They sit up here and watch females and, oh, she got her breast popped out and got her ass tooted up. Y'all are sitting up here asking for booty pics. Y'all need to be asking for some bedroom and some living room pics. Show me what your bedroom looks like, miss. No. Just give me a quick shot of it so I can see what your floor looks like. I don't need to see everything. Show me the floor. And if your bedroom looks like an episode of Hoarders, okay, but real life, y'all. Real life. Why did I say the bedroom and the living room? Because I met some deceptive hoes. Had to bust them online and go through their photos. I've met some deceptive-ass females. When I go in on you, I go in on you. Yeah, your living room is clean. Your bedroom is a beast. That bedroom is ferocious. That bedroom is like a safari in the Amazon. Real life. So that tells me how you're going to raise children. I'm taking a look at your housekeeping, and this is how you're going to teach your children to run their business. Even if they do start a business, I can already see what kind of business is going to be. You were raised by a sloppy mama and a sloppy dad in a sloppy home, but your business is going to be spick and span? Come on now. No, it starts in the home, babe. It's a value system.
Just a quick example. I find myself torn sometimes because I actually worked at two law firms. And so one was primarily black, one primarily white. The black one just organized, just a mess, lunch breaks till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, I got my paycheck and I moved on. And I got another opportunity to work at a white law firm. I'm the only black person there, organized, timely, just everything. But in the sense, there is a sense of guilt where I feel like I actually had a black guy came in the other day, and he said, "You talk to me a little different than you talk to one of the attorneys, the guy who hired me." And he referred to it as like the white daddy syndrome. And, I mean, I really couldn't even argue with him because in a sense I felt indebted to this man who gave me this opportunity to work in this place that I love and that I valued over the previous firm. So it's like this vicious cycle where I can see that.
I'm not really sure that there's an excuse for that, though, in all honesty. I'm not really sure I'm going to give you a pass for that. Your people, you cannot rise above your people, Sydney. And if you do not show your people the maximum respect, you're not going to get white folk to respect you more than you respect your people. It's not going to happen. You show your people disrespect, and his opinion of you is not going to be separate from his opinion of them.
Right.
So okay, you're just an island unto yourself, and you can just act that way and whatever. And you think if that black man sees that, then white folks see that. They see you.
Okay.
Oh, now she's going backtracking. Don't do it.
Full disclosure.
What'd she say? Wait a minute. A minute before you said that. Wait a minute. Let me back up. I didn't mean it like that. I meant it like this. Go ahead.
Because I'm very conscious of that epidemic. So whenever, no matter what color you are, I treat you the same. This guy actually I knew kind of well, and like we had banter back and forth. And so he was kind of saying it, you know, to mess with me. And I know, like, I make it a big deal. I treat everyone the same. But I'm saying mentally, I'm not gonna lie, I feel more indebted to the white guy.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think he was joking about that. The fact that you sat there and said that the way you just did about this place I love working at more than the previous people, that right there tells me, nah, he was smiling, but he wasn't joking. You can tell yourself whatever you want to. He was smiling, but because I'm feeling that right now, and I'm not joking. So if he knows you that well, yeah, he means it too. You can just go ahead and tell yourself that he was just joking and that was all it was. Go ahead. That makes you feel better. But I'm just telling you right now, that wasn't a joke.
Yeah, and I didn't like when you said indebted.
I mean, like I say, it's one thing to be happy to have a job. I understand that. But what I'm hearing here kind of goes beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to start checking yourself on that, okay? Even you need to avoid even the appearance of subservience. You have to avoid even the appearance of subservience wherever you are. Just like I told Sir Greatness last night, you need to avoid even the appearance of fear. As a black female, y'all got a real bad habit of white men show up and the teeth come out. I mean grinning, not biting. All of a sudden, boy, I mean, they are the most polite thing in the room. Don't have a bad thing to say about Mr. Charlie. Black folk, on the other hand, man, look here. And I guarantee you I can find some instances where them white folk done treated you janky as they can be, but you're thankful and grateful to them. Black folk, they're just a bother, annoyance. And what I'm saying is that I can understand that there was probably some stuff going on there that wasn't supposed to be going on. I understand that. But we are never supposed to let events change us. Not our identity as a people. And even if you ain't got the kind of right black folk around you that you want right now, you are always supposed to be keeping your predetermination directed towards your people. You can't be nothing but a black person. You can never be a Caucasian. That's not going to happen. You can never be an Asian. You can never be Latino. That's not going to occur. So you cannot have a situation where you're the special Negro. It doesn't work that way. And we should not be grateful. I mean, it wasn't like you walked in there on a welfare to work program. The man ain't paying you because he's bored. He's paying you because he needs somebody who can perform the job skills that he needs. Whether you're a trainee or not. If you're a trainee, that means he couldn't afford to pay somebody who actually was already experienced and knew. In other words, you're not doing it for nothing. He is getting a trainee because he can only afford a trainee. So that's what he's got. And you're doing him an equal service by being the trainee who shows up for work every day and does their best. He is not doing you favors. That's not the way the capitalist system works. Capitalism is not based upon favors. Capitalism is based upon goods and services. And they got you feeling like they're doing you a favor. If you showed up at Goodwill the Salvation Army, that's a favor. This is a job. So don't ever crook your mouth to sit up here and say, I'm grateful. That's a bad look. I mean, that sounds like scandal right there. And I know you're going to say, that's not the way I meant that. We're going overboard. No, not really. Because I got a bunch of black males. You take a look in that chat room. That's a bad look. Especially when that kind of talk is directed at white males. That's a bad look when that talk is directed at white males. Because especially after you have immediately made two negative characterizations of two black males. You made two negative characterizations of two black males and then made a glowing, over-the-top characterization of a white male. And even if you didn't sincerely mean it like that, the optics of this are terrible. Just the appearance of this, the visuals of this are horrendous.
I understand, but this phenomenon is like not new to me. I've been around white people my whole life, so that's just one thing I've always tried to avoid. And it's not, like I said, it's nothing that I gave off necessarily. Me and him were kind of having a conversation that involved race, so that's how it came up. Had he just come up to me and been like, I saw you treated, you know, so-and-so differently, then it's a complete, like, I need a self-evaluation, all that. But no, we talked about it, and he was like, he just mentioned it, you know. I can't remember the exact wording he said, but I'm talking about more so how I felt. And that's
you said you felt indebted. You said you felt indebted. You said you felt indebted. You didn't say that you were qualified for the job. You said you felt indebted. And once you say you feel indebted, that means to me that it's nothing that you won't do for that white man. Whether it disgraces you or not, you felt indebted to be there. Not that you were qualified to be there. Just like the young man last night said, the Confederate man had more knowledge than him, and he was in college, and that man hadn't graduated high school, and he felt he had to get up on his game, glorifying them and belittling us. That's not a good look. And to me, that means that you're not acting as yourself on that job. You have a mask on when you go in there with those white people. When you come out with your black people, then you become who you are. That's what I heard.
Well, my problem.
Because I too.
I'm sorry. Afraid that it may work the opposite way is my problem. That what we are is what I just heard about at work, and then we leave there, and okay, let me put on this face for black folk over here, because I can't go home with the white folks, so I'll act the way I need to, depending on where I'm at. And what I'm saying is, more than anything, tonight, make yourself a promise that you're going to gain consistency on that kind of thing. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen at all. I say a lot of things, and I critique black women, and I've earned the right to do that because I'm a black man and I'm with nothing but black women. I've earned the right to do that. I paid the cost to be the boss. You're not going to find any videos and stuff like that, me sitting up here talking like that. I will talk about what black women need to get corrected, and that is because that's my team. But I don't have anything to tell black women that this is where they're falling behind their competitors, but I'm not going to tell black women that I'm grateful to white women. Grateful for what? Grateful for what? I don't see how I can say that in a flattering way. Gave you a job, that's it. And I got a feeling that if a black man had done the same thing, you wouldn't be talking the same. It wouldn't be, I was indebted, I'm grateful. I doubt it would be that. So I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but I'm just going to say that make yourself a promise that you're not going to do that anymore, because you represent us. You represent black females. And there should never be a situation where a black male says that. Now, I understand some dudes are out there just trying to get some ass. So they're just telling you, I acting friendly enough and stuff like that. But my point about it here is I'm not going off of what he said. I'm going off what I've heard on this phone tonight. So there's definitely an issue there, could stand correction. But case in point, though, we as black people do not present the best product. And we present to our people a shoddy product, starting with ourselves. We present ourselves to each other as shoddy and run down. That's what we do. And I want us to stop doing that. I want us to appreciate ourselves as people and hold ourselves to the highest standard. But it's kind of hard to do that. You know, it's hard for me to get the Taj Mahal out of a kid who was raised in a whorehouse. And you as black females need to check each other on that. You check each other on hair. You check each other on shoes. Y'all don't check each other on your vaginas. About some bull crap that don't matter, you check each other. No man ever cheated on his woman because he didn't like her shoes. No man ever cheated on his woman because he didn't like her choice in hair weaves. He cheated on her because she has character traits that were unbecoming what he wanted to keep. And those kind of things, y'all don't check each other on. You don't even mention it to each other. A bunch of females co-sign each other on their bullcrap, but will not talk to each other about what's wrong. Now, if her hair ain't right or her shoes are clashing with her outfit, you will tell her that her shoes and that outfit, no. Her house is a damn mess. You ain't said a word about that.
And it's hard for me to relate to that because, like I said, none of my friends are like that. And that's because all my black friends, we went to an all-girls school. So sisterhood was engraved in us from the beginning. And I think it
what
made a huge
city
difference.
You live in? Wait a minute, didn't you say you live in Houston?
Well, Dallas. I grew up in Dallas.
Okay, where you grew up in Dallas?
Yes, sir.
So you mean to tell me that you're a black female who grew up in Dallas and there were no hood rats there? Who are you trying to fool?
No, I'm talking about in my inner circle.
And I'm referring to your inner circle. You're saying all your friends were fine, upstanding citizens. And where are you from again, Dallas, Texas? Who are you trying to fool? Say that to somebody. Say that to somebody whose stomping grounds wasn't Dallas.
It's
Dallas,
the truth.
Dallas, Richardson, Addison, Skeet, Plano, Allen. DeSoto.
But that was the world.
You're not going to teach me nothing about Dallas, Texas. That version of the events didn't happen. I'm just going to tell you right now. Ain't nobody who's been to Dallas going to back that story up. Even if you visited Dallas, you did not. How long did you live there? A week?
My whole life.
Define whole life.
I mean, since I was like 4.
Do you live there now? Because you said Houston when you started. I asked you where you're from.
I mean, Houston's where I'm going to law school in Houston. I'm starting in the fall. But Dallas is...
Okay, but you live in Dallas now, though.
Well, that's where my house is. That's where my home
where,
is.
Where are you at right now?
Right now, I'm in Houston, Texas.
Okay. Well, you're in Houston.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. No. About your Dallas story, no. That is not the version of the events. Very glad that you got a groovy group of friends, but for you to sit up here and say something like that would simply defy being in Dallas, Texas. Now, you may say you don't like to hang out with them kind of folk. Well, I understand that. I don't like to hang out with bummy dudes neither. But I will tell you that as females, if you left high school, no,
mm-hmm.
you know a bunch of females who ain't right. As a group, black females do not check each other. Not over things that matter, they don't. They'll check each other all day over trivial things. They don't check each other over the essentials. Won't say a word. And I'm just saying, say something. Mona, Sydney, Stephanie, everybody, black females, say something. 75% of black children are being raised by single mothers. You all need to start a culture of black women checking each other and saying, hold up, baby. This baby daddy mess ain't going to work. Your son ain't hardly read, can't hardly write. My son ain't fine. Put a book in front of the boy. Sound like he ain't doing so well. Y'all need to check each other on that. Y'all need to create some embarrassing and awkward moments. But you don't because you're scared of each other. Because you're scared if you say something, they're going to punch you in the mouth. Go ahead, say it. Yes. You all don't check each other because you're scared you're going to get punched in the mouth. That is what maintains the sisterhood, is fear. The sisterhood of failure among black women is maintained by one thing, fear. Fear of white supremacy, fear of each other. That's why black men don't check each other.
But I'm not scared when I see a black female who fits that description. I just feel like nothing I say can change how she was brought up.
Why do you say that?
Because, I mean, obviously how she was brought up had enough influence to turn her out how she is now. And so me just, you know, spouting something off, she would know me from anything.
Well, that's very, very true, but all curves begin somewhere. I'm not talking about have no great big long-ass dialogue with them or whatever, but when you see coonery and nonsense, you need to call that. When you see coonery and buffoonery, you need to call that. Black women need to create a culture of doing that. You need to check a few hood rats just for practice. Totally honest with you.
Especially at my age right now, it wouldn't matter at all. Like, I tried to check in college, all the twerking and stuff, like, but that doesn't matter because the attention.
Why do you say that?
They get, because I've done it.
Why? Because there was an instant, because there was not an instantaneous transformation? Is that why? Because you thought it was going to be instantaneous?
That's a good question.
I said something, okay, and it didn't stop. Okay. How long did it take into this wretched condition? 15 years, and you thought one sentence was going to clear it all up? What I'm saying is that, first of all, don't ever expect that your audience is the person you're talking to, okay? On my broadcast, when I have my teaching moments like I had last night and like I had with you tonight, my audience isn't you. It doesn't matter if you don't ever do anything with it. Like the young lady who called in last week, and I was talking to her about, you know, she's talking about dancing. I don't think she's going to do a damn thing with what I told her, but she was not my audience. My audience is the person who will do something with it. And that's why I have those moments to flesh those things out, because her and anybody else standing around, they're all hearing me. And it may not do anything for her, but it may do something for them. Now, I'm not going to waste a whole bunch of time with her, but I'm not going to let those things pass by either. And furthermore, because I don't approve of them. So when I see that kind of mess, I'm going to say something. When I see that, I'm going to say something. Simply because that's who I am. And if I refuse to do that, then sounds like that's not really me anymore.
But I feel like sometimes, if I agree with you, and I never thought about it that way. In a sense, though, sometimes I feel like a man's opinion is valued more in terms of getting a female to change her behavior.
So I can tell you already know that ain't right. A man's opinion matters more to get females to change their behavior. Give me an example of that.
Not matters more. It seems like it's more effective. Because
okay.
It seems
give
like...
Give me an example.
Okay. So, first is the dancing thing. I mean, I doubt girls are twerking or dancing like that for themselves. They're doing it for the attention, the response they get from the men. If you weren't paying them any attention, you know, if they just went crazy by themselves, that wouldn't happen.
Okay, first of all, let's check a couple of things here, okay? Do you like shoes? Of course you do, you're a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do females buy shoes to get male attention?
In a way?
No, they don't.
No. No, they don't.
Do females get their hair done to get male attention? No, they don't.
No.
Well, how do you know if they don't do their hair to get male attention, TBA? Because men don't even notice women's hair. And as a female, Mona will tell you how many times in her life she's changed her hair and was just so beside herself, this is wonderful, and the man didn't even notice. Go change your shoes, or go buy a new pair of shoes, and watch how many men don't notice. Now, you buy a new bra, they might notice that. But you go buy some shoes, we don't notice. Change your hair, we may or may not take notice. But we're not going to gush about it. It's not a game changer.
The only time you guys talk about hair is if we go bald.
Yeah.
Then you notice.
You start looking like a dude, yeah.
Yeah. Because my son, as I said, I left out, you look like Janet Jackson. I come back, you look like Michael Jordan. What the hell is wrong with you? So, yeah, they do notice then. But they don't care if it's curly, straight, wavy, whatever. But when you go bald, they notice. So we do. We do everything for the attention of each other.
Women,
as women.
Women ain't having all these bastard babies because of positive male attention. Is that because that's what men want? No, they're doing it because, well, the other girls, they got a baby, and I'm a loser with no personality, so I'll get a baby too. Females do things to get approval from each other. Color coordinating? A man didn't notice that. All he noticed was your ass. That's why men don't have a problem with whether your dress matches your shoes or whether everything is rainbow colored. All I saw was that body popping out that dress. That's all I saw. I don't even remember what color the dress was. I just remember popping was going on. So that's not for us that you all do that, because you never compare notes with us about what we want. Females never ask us what we want when it comes to their clothing, their hair, their sex habits. They don't ask us. It's not for male approval. They do it for approval from each other on some level. And that's why black men today have made it very clear the weight thing ain't popping, why we have so many fat females. If the men's opinion mattered so much, why do we have so many fat females, Sydney?
Because because they don't know how to diet. They don't know about nutrition.
Okay, but the men have made it clear that's not what we want. You said the females are more concerned about our opinion, and they want male approval for twerking and whatnot, but they ain't getting themselves in shape, and the men have made it very clear about that. Why is it that's not happening? Our opinion matters so much. First thing they do is get a group of other fat females and say, these are my girls, I ain't got chains. They get a white man, immediately go off to get curves and a membership to Bally's. But with a black man, no. But that's because when they hang out with white men, they're hanging out with white women. And now they have to conform to the standards of those women. And those women are your competitors. Black women only care about men's opinions when they no longer have choices. Long as they got a choice, they don't give a damn what men think. It's all about me. I'm doing me. Take a look at T.I.'s wife, Tiny. 1 minute smiling with him, next minute smiling with Floyd Mayweather. Same thing with Rihanna. Mm-hmm. Those are microcosmic of black women in general, as a group. They don't care what men think. Not until they have no choices. Watch, as soon as Rihanna's breast starts sagging, she's going to become a nun. She's going to be the most virtuous woman you ever met. You would not know that she was a hood rat who, in her 20s, she was sucking and freaking everything out here. Old white men, young black men, tattooed up, probably a couple of females mixed there too. Can we just be honest? But you'd never know that. In 10 years, you'll never know it. Because she's going to try to make y'all think that she was Susie Whitebread. Now, when she runs out of choices, she's going to clean up her act. And when the men don't cooperate, the real thing is going to come back out again. Just take a look at that R&B divas. As soon as things don't go their way, Kelly Price did what? You sing gospel cussing like that? What would Jesus say? Jesus told me to tell you, bleep, bleep, bleep. Whoa. I don't think he said that. It's for their own approval. They don't do it for men's approval. Certainly not black men's approval. What's most important to us isn't even an afterthought. Except if they want to get something. That's what you're talking about, twerking and whatnot. So what you're saying is that they have situational regard for us.
No, so I mean,
what you're saying is that depending on the situation, they care about what we say. Depending on the situation. You can't say that our opinion matters in some places, but then I can show you, but it doesn't matter across the board. Either it matters or it doesn't. It matters in some instances, then it doesn't matter. It just matters when it's convenient.
Depending on how fine the brother is when it matters.
Or what she can get out of them.
No, yeah. Because a fine man can cuss you out and you'd be like, oh, I like him. But let that man that's less appealing to you say those same things and he gets cussed out.
Swagalist can talk like that.
Yeah.
So if black women are all about themselves, how do you organize this front to get them to change if the men don't have an influence?
That's where the women come in. Now, my job is to get the men to act like men and for the men to have proper expectations of the women. I don't ever talk about, quote, what a real woman does. You all need to talk to each other about that. You all need to do what has been done for time immemorial. You set the standards for each other. That's not a woman's job to be telling a man what he's supposed to be doing. Men are supposed to be doing that. And why did I put up the post today? I said, women, y'all need to have men in the home. A woman can't tell this boy what to do. Well, I want to raise my son. We can't get there from here. You can't get there from here. You want to correct the situation with the females, you all have to keep each other in check. That's the only way that's going to happen. If you all refuse to keep each other in check, it doesn't get done.
Most females do not check each other because they want to stay friends. They don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And my son will tell you, he tells me all the time, you have no friends. And I have one girlfriend that calls me, and she always starts off with, would I be wrong? I'll bet you're wrong. And we're going to have a two-hour conversation and beat around the bush to reach the conclusion that you're wrong, but in the end, you're going to do what you want to do. But would they know when they call on it? They don't get patronized. They don't get sugar-coated. And I can count my friends on one hand. That when I call them, they will let me have it. They will check me. And that's the people that I need around me. Because that keeps me resilient. That makes me be able to go back out here and do this all over again. I don't like sugarcoaters. I don't. They will be like, woman up, what the hell are you talking about? Keep on going, blah, blah, blah. That's the people I need in my corner. I check them every day at the shop, every time I see them. And we do need to do that. And if they don't receive it, keep it pushing. But I can't walk past something that I see wrong and be like, oh, that's not a part of me. That's my sister. That's my people. That's my representation. I have to do that. I'm compelled to do that, whether they like it or not. And if it's a group of them, they all might cuss me out right then and there. But maybe one might really think about what I said and change her ways. But that's not up to me. I just know the right thing I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We let our girlfriend go out here butt naked, cellulite. You know her dress is four sizes too small. I was in a dress shop the other day. I had tried on this dress. It was a large. The girl was two sizes larger than me, and she was trying to get a small. And I stopped her. I said, no, you can't fit that. She was like, well, I'm getting it to try to hold it all in. I said, you can't fit that. Maybe you could try the large, but you're probably too big for the large. But if you're going to try something, try the large. And when she put it on, she looked like a fat bag of Skittles. And her girlfriend was like, oh, no, that's hot. That's tight. And I'm over there trying to pull this stuff together. And I'm like, you can't fit this. You got back fat hanging out. And before I knew it, I was like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I don't even know you guys. But I do that all the time. Just place myself into situations.
Yeah, I mean, they're buying these dresses, and you guys sit up here and strap them together with shower curtain hooks. Hell no. This is ridiculous. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to
say. And it's deceptive to a man. If you got this real tight body, and then you take your clothes off and roll call, you're deceptive.
And understand something. That's what I mean by black women hate each other. Because you're not telling each other about how bad your situation is with your kids. Black women don't talk to each other. They don't talk to each other. They don't check each other. It's just the sister. And that's why it's the sisterhood of failure. Because understand something. As a black female, Sydney, you are judged against everybody. You are a member of a group. And no matter how much them folks smile at you, you are always seen as a member of that group. You may be a pet. But guess what? You're still a dog. White people do a lot of things for their pets. You ain't never seen them enroll one in school. Okay.
So if a white guy, because I actually got asked out by a white person a little while ago. Wait a minute, you actually got what? Asked out, like on a date.
What does that mean? I mean,
by a white guy.
What is the significance of that?
You were saying you're always their pet.
Okay.
And so I'm saying, in that instance.
Mona, I'll let you take this one.
Okay, so you got asked out by a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you, like, what? How did that make you feel?
I mean, it made me feel any kind of way, really.
Okay, but you asked the question, so what we're trying to find out. Okay, you said that, and the significance of him asking you out, you said, well, what does that mean then? I'm asking you. Okay, you brought that up, so in your mind, the significance of it is?
The significance would be that he liked me, but I was saying, because you were saying that a white person.
So you're saying that it's more than a pet. You're saying that the fact mm-hmm. that he asked you out means that there's some greater significance there. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I'm asking, is there?
No, ma'am. I'm asking you because you're asking the question. If you're asking the question in relation to my statement that they see you as a pet, you say, well, he asked me out. You didn't say that he bought lunch. You didn't say that he fixed my flat tire. You said, well, he asked me out. So you are asking that in relation to my statement about them seeing you as a pet. Because there's some doubt in your mind. That gesture makes a doubt in your mind?
Well, no, we went out. It was just like a normal day. I didn't have a doubt in my mind until you mentioned the pet thing. And so now it's
breaking down more. Now it's proceeded from, well, he asked me out. Now it's, oh, well, we actually went out. It wasn't he asked me out. We actually went out.
And it was a normal date.
Yeah. And it was normal as opposed to what?
No.
As opposed to three-ring juggling, as opposed to giving you a dog bowl at the table? I mean, as a normal as opposed to what?
The only reason I say normal now is because I'm thinking it's not normal because you have that pet analogy in there, which never crossed my mind. And so that's why I'm wondering.
Well, yes, but I'm trying to get you to answer here. You brought up, well, he took me on a date, so I don't see how this computes with being a pet. And what you're saying is that, well, that brings doubt as to my pet status. Well, why do you say that? Well, he asked me out. You don't ask out your pets, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's hard for me to understand pursuing it because, I mean, I kind of know him well as a friend. And so it's hard for me to understand pursuing a romantic relationship as a pet. Like in a professional setting, I understand completely what you're saying. But
Mona, she does not understand how a man can see you as a pet and yet will ask you out. She doesn't understand that.
So before he presented the pet analogy, you would consider him to be your man? You would be romantically involved with him?
No, it was just like I went out, like, I guess on a date, more so hung out. But, I mean, he has romantic interest in me, but we're not, like, dating.
How do you know he has romantic interest in you?
Because, I mean, you know.
I mean, you know. No, I don't know. Explain it to me. That's why I
don't
know.
Okay, I will break it down. I've known him since my freshman year of college. He was in the same dormitory, or the boys' dormitory adjacent from us. So he's always kind of been in my kind of group of friends, known him. We text stuff and text stuff that's not, you know, just you kind of feel when someone has a romantic vibe in you. And so he, like, asked me out on day four one-on-one, but I was just busy and stuff popped up. And so and I had people tell me, you know, blah, blah's trying to, you know, really hang out with you. And but I didn't, I was busy at the time.
You have people tell you. Who are these people? Give me some examples.
Friends.
Okay, give me some examples of the friends.
Like, I've had his friends, his guy friends, my female friends, my roommate.
Now, do you notice who you didn't mention there?
Who, him?
Black males.
No, his friend is a black male.
He's friends with a black male.
Yeah.
Okay. Has he ever dated a black female before?
I do not know.
You don't know if he's ever dated a black female before, but you're going out with him.
Yes.
But you don't know if he's ever dated a black female before. So what that means is that you've gone out with this guy. And how many times have you gone out with him?
One-on-one.
Very simple question, Sydney. How many times have you gone out with him?
Just me and him has just been once recently, what I just told you about.
Okay, and what you're saying is that you don't know anything about his dating history in regard to black women.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone out with a guy, and you do not know his history of black women.
No, how would I ask that? How would I throw that in there? Mike.
Wow, you went with him, and you just felt like you were just one of the girls. Remember what we were saying before about we kind of subscribe pet statuses onto ourselves that don't really exist? Because we want to believe that we're in. So we see ourselves as one of them. Good thing I'm not a black male. Oh, don't worry, sir. I'm indebted to be here. Great believing. You starting to see how it all ties together now? You went out with this white male and you asked nothing about his history with black women. A black person, a person listening to you would never know that racism even exists in America. It couldn't exist. You saw no reason to ask about that. Because, you see, we all know that Thomas Jefferson really loved Sally Hemings, don't we? You don't know who Sally Hemings was. You ain't going to do too very well in law school, but you need to go look that up. Okay, she was one of the slaves. Anyway, interesting story there, too, as a matter of fact, because she was already actually related to the family. But in any case, somebody listening to you would not know that white men in America have a history of using black women as sexual playthings. But no one would ever know that from your statements. And you're talking as if that doesn't exist or that's not happening. The way you're talking, a person would never know that that was actually the default state from the way you're talking. As a matter of fact, you took great pains to avoid even acknowledging it, which means that this is the way you see yourself, that we're black and you are a special category. That you are observing black people. And sometimes you could pass for black. Some people mistake you for being black. But you're just a non-white observer of black society. No one would ever know that racism existed in America based on your statements. They'd never know that. And I'm trying to get you to understand, why is it you keep talking like that? What are you so scared of? Losing your semi-white privilege? How can I be his pet if white men are asking me on a date? So a white man asking a black woman, wanting to have sex with a black woman, you act like there's something unique. Oh, no, this one, no, there's nothing. No, it's all good intentions here. How do you know? Because he asked. I mean, if he only wanted me for sex, he would just tell me. Really?
No.
Now, first of all, how old is this guy?
21, 22.
You sound very uncertain.
He's 22.
Where is he originally from?
He is from Dallas. We live in the same city.
Okay. Because we all know that being from Dallas means that you get along with black folk just fine. Well, listening to you, we have to assume that. Listening to you, obviously that has to be the case. We're listening to you. And from your representation of circumstances, gotta be. Gotta be. So this guy is younger than you are. Not much. You're both about the same age. But this fella is a... The younger you are, ages matter more. Let's just get that out of the way. But
well,
in any case, the real issue I'm looking at here is you don't know anything about his dating history by your own admission. So how do you know this is not just his thing?
Because that's a lot of work to put in for something that's just like a thing. Number one, he knows I'm not having sex till marriage. I mean, so if he wants to make it a challenge, I mean, I guess, you know, that's a thing he could do, but it's a lot of effort.
You've shown a fair propensity for giving deference to white men. So I don't think you're going to do that. I think he sees it and he's like, yeah, I can get it.
Mm-mm.
Are your girlfriends all black?
Is his girlfriend black?
Yours.
Are your girlfriend, your inner circle? Are they all black?
My roommate's black. I got two black girls in it and then one white who really know him, who, like, we all hang out together.
So you have no problem with hanging out with white people. You have something in common with them.
I don't have a problem hanging out with white people.
Well, I don't think she has a problem with hanging out. I don't think hanging out's the real issue. The real issue that I see here is deference. You show a tremendous amount of deference where white men are concerned. It even comes in through your language. I've already explained that to you. You've talked about no less than two black males. You had nothing good to say about them. You haven't had a single bad word to say about a single white male you've met. Not even one. With the black fellow, you had some derisive remarks to make about him. In regard to what his intentions might be, this white kid, you ain't got nothing to say. Nothing to say whatsoever. Now, that's not a misunderstanding. That's a pattern of behavior. That is a pattern.
I could go down the list of different black males, but the reason I brought this up is because it's contingent upon...
The list of different black males, what?
That I've been interested in, that I've dated, that I appreciate.
Okay, and look where you are now.
Who I have the utmost respect for. No, it just sounds, it's because it's about the topic we're discussing, and so that's why.
The topic we were discussing was not comparing black folk to white folk, though. But you went there not once but twice. And now you're back there again with this fellow. Nothing negative to say. Did you notice this since the whole time you've been on this phone? You have not had one negative word to say about white people or white society at all. Not a single one. And as a matter of fact, you have been grateful. Quote, indebted. Not a negative word about them whatsoever. You have not used the terms racism or white supremacy or racist one time, not even once, not even when we're talking about the television networks and the TV networks and how they promote certain black folk and not others. You didn't use that terminology one time. I did. You didn't. Oh, yes. I was listening very carefully to what you said. And I was waiting to see if you were going to use that kind of terminology, and you never did. I did,
well,
and even after I did, you never said it. And now all your other actions are reinforcing that.
No, because when I called, I actually said it.
Well, not beating up on you. I just want you to start recognizing these things, because I don't think you've ever really noticed it before.
No, I'm saying, when I called in, I listened. I mean, I could have easily, because I had my own preconceived notions. I was going to say the white producer's wife. I was going to go into that, but I wanted to hear your opinion first, so I let you, you know, I let you educate me.
You were not going to go into that, because even when I started talking about it, you didn't say anything.
I thought how the white
you could have, as a matter of fact, you didn't even say anything about white producers. I'll go back and listen to this again, but I don't think you even said anything about that. I think I did. I don't think you even commented about the fact that the folk who put these shows out are not black. I don't think you even commented about that. Even after I said it, I don't think you even made a comment. Forget good, bad, or otherwise. You didn't make comments about their whiteness whatsoever. Whiteness did not become an issue until I mentioned it.
I think I said whiteness. I think I said white people only focus on bringing white people up in the media, in terms of when I was talking about the Game of Thrones book. And then you corrected me.
I'll go back and listen again. I don't remember hearing that, but I'll go back and listen again. But in any case, you have an issue about that. As a matter of fact, where white folk are concerned, you don't have a lot of issues at all. Where black folk are concerned, you had very pointed and very derisive comments to make. So you were very straightforward about what you weren't happy with where black folk were concerned. White folk, you have made nothing but comments giving benefit of the doubt after benefit of the doubt. I'm saying I want you to start recognizing. Now, white people better concern you. They better concern you when it comes to your relations to black people. When we're hearing you talk so glowingly about white folk and so derisively about black people, I mean, hell, I'm not Fox News, but where's the fair and balanced?
I mean, I don't want to just say bad stuff about white people just to say it. I'm saying everything in context of my conversation. If a direct question was asked, well, what's not good about this white guy, then I would have answered.
Okay, but when you were asked about this fellow here, your response was to be evasive and say, well, I don't even know if he's dated a black female before, which is garbage. You would never have gone out without knowing that. It's garbage. I'm just telling you right now, you can say it again if you want to. I'm just telling you. You're lying. That's a lie. There's no way in the world you went out with that guy and did not know if he's ever dated a black female before or somebody has not talked to you about that. There is no way in Dallas, Texas, that you went out as a black female with a white male unless you're biracial or something.
I'm not lying.
Okay.
No.
Are you mixed?
No.
What size do you wear?
Size 4.
Be honest.
Size 4. I don't have a Facebook, but I will reactivate it and I will friend you.
You know what? Just save it. Size 4. That means you're rather petite. How am I doing so far?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
A body type that tends to attract white males. How tall are you, by the way, at size 4?
About 5'3", 5'4".
Okay. Still pretty slender. I'm not going to ask your weight because we don't do that. Well, I'm not doing it this time. Size 4, that's pretty damn slender. But I will tell you that sounds familiar. On the Black Channel, I am absolutely merciless about critiquing my people, but you all have to be very, as a young black person, you have to be very, very careful not to give in to the temptation to think that you have a third category that you can qualify for. You are either black or non-black. There is no non-white category that you qualify for. Not physically, socially, or otherwise. You do not qualify for some type of special status. So make sure you monitor your vocabulary to make sure that you don't start trying to inject, because you're young and your kinfolk, obviously, and your people haven't corrected you on this. You've grown up around white folks so long that you convinced yourself that I belong in a special category. I'm not on the black side completely. I am able to move in between the two. No, you really can't. You want to be able to do business with everybody. You want to be able to communicate with everyone. You want to always remember what you are. This is how you prevent yourself from being shell-shocked when you end up in court. Ain't that right, Chris Brown? Well, if Chris is out of jail, at least till November he's out. Then he goes back to trial again for this other assault thing. But in any case, that's not a good thing, especially you don't know his history of dating black females. How do you know this isn't his thing? How do you know that this isn't just what he does? How do you know that he's not just doing it to tick his parents off?
It's possible. I mean, I'm not even going
to... Okay,
it's not like
I'm just saying, if it's possible, why are you giving him the time of day?
I mean, a lot of things are possible, depending on, you know?
Okay, but the problem is you have done absolutely no investigation to find out if it's so, because if it were so, then what would you do? Would you still keep going out with him if you found out that this is just his thing, he just dates black females?
No.
Okay, but okay, if it's important enough that you would say, oh, no, that's a deal breaker, then why are you not finding out? Why is it you've been out with him more than once, either by yourself or with other people? You didn't ask any of his friends? You talked about his friends and his black friends. You haven't talked to any of them about that? But you want us to believe that you are objectively analyzing him, when you are telling us that there are deal breakers that you've made a conscious decision to avoid and to not ask. I'm not going to ask if he dates black females. I'm not going to ask about his history of doing that. When you went out with him, what did you two talk about?
I mean, because I've known him since freshman year, so that's why it would be a different situation if he had just come up to me and we had just met, like, say, a few months ago, and then he asked me out. But it's been like this continuous friendship.
Okay, it's a continuous friendship, but you don't know if he's ever dated a black female since your freshman year. You got your bachelor's now, and after 4 or 5 years, you still do not know if he's ever dated another female who looks like you. But
no,
we know each other so well.
I mean,
I'm saying if we analyze what you are saying against what you did, something is not here.
I'm thinking about it objectively because I don't know the other two black guys in the group. I don't know who they've dated. Past, you know.
Okay,
you
but that's
the
not
college,
the point.
It's a different world.
But the point is, obviously, you haven't had, have you had any romantic interaction with any of them?
No.
Well, that no came really slow. That
no,
no means,
no,
that no comes in quotations with an asterisk by it.
I will own up to everything. I have not. No. No.
You ain't owning up to this white guy yet. You ain't owning up to him just yet. You haven't even owned up to that, so I'd be crazy to think you're going to own up to the rest of this. But in any case, like I say, there's definitely a deference going on there. Now, that's not going to be a good thing for you to be holding on to going out into the real world. You're going to have to rein that in quick, fast, and in a hurry, and I'm concerned about certain things like that. Because when I see things like that, the first thing that hits my mind here is that how useful is this person going to be for us? Because you're 22 years old, and I'm not liking, you're talking about the kids and how raised. Hell, I'd be a damn fool to think you're going to check black females. You're not even checking white society yet. This guy who's a year younger than you can ask you out, and you know absolutely nothing about his dating history. I mean, the fact that you are a black female, does that matter?
I'm looking at the chat room, and
I'm going to make you a suggestion now, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The chat room is there for just that, chat. Do you know what chat is short for? Chatter. So I have a chat room for the purposes of allowing people to chatter, gossip, spread rumor, innuendo, outright falsehood. Except about me. You do it on me and you're banned. But everybody else, fair game. But in any case, I would recommend you don't listen to them, okay? I have this as a place for people to explore their ideas. Some far to the left, some far to the right, some right down the middle. But that is not an objective forum that you're looking at there, okay? I am the objective forum. Furthermore, you're on the phone with me, so I recommend you just pay attention to me. They are responding to what I'm asking you, and you're looking at them.
But they have it all wrong.
We've been giving you an opportunity to explain it, and the more you explain, the worse it gets.
I have to think about my mindset. And so when someone said like I was putting them on a pedestal, it just occurred to me that was the opposite.
Simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Does your blackness matter?
Yes.
Does the fact that you are a black woman matter in a relationship? Why does it matter? Why?
Because it's who you are. It affects everything. It affects how your life is. It affects how people treat you, how people see you.
Okay. Well, you are open to this young man taking romantic interest in you. And yet, blackness never came up in discussions with him.
But that's what I was trying to say.
Saying, Your Honor, I was molesting three kids. But wait a minute, back up. You molested how many? Because we only got you in here for a speeding ticket. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. But since you did, do tell.
It's because had it been, I never really was into him, like it was this mass. Had it been like that, I probably would have done. But now I'm looking back, and it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, I was kind of just, I said yes. It was just kind of going through the motions. So that's probably why.
First of all, did you see how long it took you to even start on that sentence? Well, it's because first of all, did you notice that?
Well, I don't want to say something I don't mean, so I got to put it correctly in my head. People eat me up in this chat room, and it's getting to me.
Will you close the chat room window, please?
Okay, I closed it.
Close the chat room window.
It is closed.
First of all, you can't, because I don't even look at the chat room. You know why? Because my attention would be divided. You can't be listening to me if you're looking at them. And you can't be thinking about my questions if you're thinking about them. So trust me, they are not going to be the determinant of what people think about you, because when people listen to this recorded, they're not going to see the chat room. They're not going to see the chat room. So all they're going to hear is the conversation between you and me. Now, my question is, if blackness matters so much, why is it that blackness didn't matter when you got on a date with him?
Because I wasn't invested enough in him. I think if I would have really, like, thought maybe...
I didn't make out what you said. What did you say?
I wasn't that invested in him.
Okay, go ahead.
And so had it been someone who I'm like, man, I would love to, you know, get in the relationship and we see such and such, then, you know, I'm throwing in all those other factors. But in this case, it was just kind of... He asked me out. I was like, okay.
Okay, so you're just saying that you just go out with anybody who asks nicely?
No.
Okay, I know the answer is no, because you have already stated that he had romantic interest in you. So that was what your understanding of going out with him was for.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't sit here now and say that this was just an academic acid trip. You've already conceded that, well, he had romantic interest in me. But you want us to sit here and say that you didn't have any interest in him?
No, I have interest in him. It just wasn't.
Okay, because you just said I wasn't that invested in him.
Yeah, it wasn't like I wasn't making an investment.
So were you invested in him or were you not? You can't go out with somebody and then say, oh, I just went out with you and I'm interested, but I'm not invested. Do you see that there's a reason why a one-way sign only has one arrow? Because if it had two arrows, there's no reason for the sign.
I think there's a difference. I think you can go out on a date with curiosity and just, you know, feel the vibe out.
Yes, but you are interested in him, which means that you have become invested in him at some level. You're trying to act as if I was interested, but I wasn't really interested. No, you were. You were interested. It's only now that you're being asked about why your blackness didn't matter that now all of a sudden, wait a minute. No, I wasn't really feeling him like that. Okay, but you went out on a date with him, and you expressed that he was interested in you, and you were interested in him, but you're telling us it was all for fun? No, you just told us that you were interested. So either you believe in one-night stands, or you believe in free meals, or you were interested in him right up until June 3rd, 2014, at approximately 12:05 a.m.
No,
I'm not beating up on you. What I'm saying is that I want you to start understanding your behavior.
You took it from a group setting to an intimate setting. And you don't take group settings to intimate settings when you have no interest in a person.
So
you were leading him on, or like he said, you wanted a free meal. Or you were interested in him.
I agree. There's interest. But then there's that. I don't know how to describe it. It's like you were really
interested. And you said
it was
a normal date. You said it was a normal date.
Mm-hmm, it was.
Okay, then you were not just there uninterested or uninvested, but you keep trying to claim you were. If this was a normal date and your blackness matters, why is it that the discussion of blackness never came up with him? Why? On a normal date with a woman whose blackness matters to her.
On a normal date, you would even ask why you're interested in me. Why do you want to date me? Do you ask that on a normal date?
Well, I mean, but obviously he's interested in something. But the real thing here is, what role does your blackness play in his interest in dating you? If your blackness is not to you, why come that question never came up? As if you don't, I mean, Sydney, do you know that there are white guys who just have a thing for black females? Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay, they're just white guys, color struck, and they just like some brown sugar from time to time. So why is it that finding out if he's one of those people, why come that never came to, you've done all these years you've known him and you haven't investigated that even once? But blackness matters? Why is it that your words and your actions are not lining up is the question that I'm looking at there. And once I'm not beating up on you, I want everybody who's listening, because there's a lot of y'all out there doing this, to take notice. Take notice of this. If it really mattered, then why is it that you went on a date with this guy after several trial runs? He got closer to you, not further away. That's what Mona is saying. He's not getting further away. He's getting closer. And yet, your blackness has never been a topic of discussion.
Well, I'm honestly, right now, I'm trying to think back in our friendship when it, if it ever specifically came up about me. And so.
Okay, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying, why come you didn't ask him yourself? I'm trying to remember back. Well, why did you just went on a date with him? Why didn't you ask him right then and right then what his position on your blackness was? Are you just one in a long line of females? Because if you don't know how many black females he's dated, you don't know how many he's with or whatever. What if you are number 15 and he's 21? Now, you've already conceded that you have no earthly idea, unless you want to take that statement back and start admitting the truth that you do know.
I do not know.
Okay, then in that case, then, how do you know you're not number 15? Or would being number 15 even matter?
It would, but I don't, I feel like.
But you,
if
it would, it matters so much that you never even asked.
Yeah, because I don't think I'd ask that on the first date, regardless.
Okay, but you say you've known him for how many years now?
Let's see. So I just got like four.
4 years.
Freshman year of college, yeah.
In 4 years, you've gone out on a date with a guy you know nothing of, a white male you know, in a segregated, in the southern United States, you've gone out with a white male and you know nothing about his history with black females. But blackness matters.
I think because there was so much group involvement, and we all just kind of.
Okay, but you removed the group. We've already established that. First, there was group involvement. Then you said, "Okay, I don't need the group anymore. I'm ready to fly solo with this guy."
Yeah.
So you were not seeing him because of a group anymore. You were seeing him because you were interested in him.
I know, but at that time, so that makes so. By then, the novelty had worn off. Because then it's like, okay, you know.
The novelty of what?
It's like, if I had just met him, the first thing my mind would be like, why is this white guy, you know, those questions would come to my mind, but he just.
But you said you knew him for 4 years.
I know.
So after 2 years, you two were not strangers anymore. So I don't know what novelty you're referring to.
The novelty in the sense of. When you meet someone initially, you try to find out all their intentions. But when I first met him, the focus necessarily wasn't just me on him. As we grew and grew and grew, you know, then he started to make his intentions clear. And by then, it wasn't like, oh, my God, I'm white, you're black. It's more so like, okay, we've been in this group, we've been friends.
Okay, but you're telling us that your dynamic with him, your blackness did not matter.
Yeah, it was less of an emphasis at that point.
Okay. So as I said before, so why do you keep saying that blackness matters?
Because it's not like I know it does. I'm just saying
blackness
it wasn't.
Blackness matters unless you've known the people long enough, then it doesn't matter anymore.
No, it just wasn't on the forefront of my mind to ask when we went out on a date. It's just what we had other. We just talked about other stuff because our whole life had been. Revolved around other
okay,
stuff, and our friends.
You've talked to him on the phone and other things before y'all went on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't it a priority for you to find out, before I go on a date with you, let me find out how you deal with black women, because people are going to know that we went out together. And I don't want my name just out there any old kind of way. With folks sitting up here snickering and giggling behind my back, talking about he got him another brown sugar. So why is the conversation never came up?
It just didn't. Not before we went on that date. It just never.
Four years and a job and several outings with your friends prior, and several phone calls, and you never wanted to find out what his intentions with you were.
Did your black girlfriends approve of you going out with him?
Yeah, they're the ones who, you know, they were kind of saying, you know, such and such likes you, blah, 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 so.
Well, you know how it is, Mona. I mean, they, as soon as they have an opportunity to get their scandal on, boy, they'll knock you, they'll run you and me over in a Humvee. So, you don't look for much ethnic support from them. They were probably trying to get to him before she was. And here's the crazy thing about that. The crazy thing about that is, being younger than you, he doesn't have much to offer you.
He's only a month younger. He's 22. His birthday's in February. Mine's in March.
Okay. Would you like a cookie?
He's just a month younger. 1 month.
Okay. That's amazing. Because before it was 21, 22. But in any case, your goalposts keep moving around. I'll let you have that one. That one doesn't really matter to me as much as making the point here that your ethnicity stopped mattering as soon as he asked you out. Did you notice that? Your ethnicity stopped mattering once he asked you out. You were saying that you took creative writing so that you could read legal documents and so that you could see between the lines and be more creative so that you could analyze things better. And yet, you just showed us that in real life, what you said, because I asked you before, I said, that's kind of an odd reason to get a creative writing degree. But when he puts you in a real world setting, you're saying that you don't actually do that.
I did not get into creative writing to be an attorney.
Okay, you said that you took creative writing because it would help you with being a lawyer.
I didn't mean to say it would help me, but that's not why I got into it. That's not why I chose it.
Wow, are you serious right now? So you're really just going to redact everything you've said?
Is she really doing this? Oh, my God, no. Listen, did I actually say I chose creative writing to be a lawyer?
You said it several times, and I asked you about it several times, and somebody else was on the phone. I asked about it several times. You were very clear that was what you got creative writing degree for. Now you're going to tell us that, oh, no, that was because I even questioned you about it. I questioned you about the need to get a creative – how does getting a creative writing degree help you with being a lawyer? And you explained how it would help you. And now you're saying, oh, no, you don't – no, that's not what you do that for. Really?
No. Yeah, you asked how would it help you, and I get the same answer now. It does help you. But if I didn't mean to say that was the only reason I got into creative writing, but it does help you.
I didn't ask the only reason. I said that's what you got. I said you got a degree in creative writing because it would help you be a lawyer by your own admission and your own statement that you said it would help you to be able to analyze papers better and to think outside the lines and read in between the lines and to be able to analyze statements better. And then you said, but I went out with this guy and I do no analysis, reading between the lines, or scrutiny whatsoever. So all the things that your creative writing degree was supposed to help you with, you say that you didn't use any of that with him. And that was what you went to school for 4 years for, was to perfect a skill that would help you outside of writing. But you got with him and the skill kind of got left by the curbside. This is a teaching moment, Sydney. This is a teaching moment. I'm not beating up on you. I want you to start looking at your life, not beating up on it.
I know.
Because you're not alone. Oh, please. This story is so damn common. But I want you all to start taking a look at your own behavior. I'm going to set up another call in here, Sydney. If you want to, you're welcome to stay on the line. Caller from 630, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 630, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Yes, are you playing on my phone?
Did you say 0448, Jason?
Okay, somebody is doing Molly's calling in here. Does your number start with 630, or would you like me to just say the whole number so you can figure out why you heard that word unmuted? When you heard unmuted, that was you.
No, I don't believe I said unmuted, but this is familiar. Hey, Jason, how are you?
This is who?
I said this is Adelia calling in. I didn't hear the clip when it said unmuted, but that's why I said hello if I was put on the line because I wasn't sure.
Okay, if you got us on speaker or something, you probably want to take it off because I'm having...
No, I'm not on speaker. Can you hear me, like, a mere echo in the background?
No, I think I have something else going on there. What's on your mind?
Oh, okay. I'm just calling to address the young lady. I know that you actually put her on the spot, and like you said, repeatedly that you're not beating on her, but it just seems like she thinks that she's entitled or privileged because she's actually hanging out with these white folks, or she's actually dating a white man, or she's one is courting her. So I believe that when she's in the work field, which she said earlier about that she presents her blackness, or she's interested in her blackness, I believe that's only true when she's in her own kind. But when it comes to somebody else who is white, she holds them into a higher pedestal. So while listening to her, I believe that she kind of went on, like you said, she was kind of ranting on when it came to black men. She found every flaw with a black man, but she didn't find no flaw with a white man. And if she went out throughout the night, she kept on changing her story. So I believe she's going to ask the question, is it conflict with her blackness? Is it important for her to date a white man? Why didn't she go this hard for a black man? That's my question to her.
Okay, Sydney, I'm not sure if you made that out or not.
Yeah, I couldn't understand the question.
Yeah, I'm not making out what she's saying so well either. We'll try this one more time. Caller, what was your question again?
My question is, I believe she didn't answer the question when she said that she preserves or everything, what's important for her is her blackness. So what I'm saying is, if she's going this hard to defend or go out with this white man, why is it that she's not doing the same when a black man is courting her or when a black man wants to date her? Because throughout the time that she's on this phone, she found everything negative to say about black men or the black men that encounter her at her job. She had to kind of belittle them so that she could be able to put white people at a higher pedestal than her.
Okay, what she's asking you, Sydney, is she wanted to know why come you didn't put this much effort into dating a black man.
Well, I've dated actually more black men than this one guy who I was on this one date with. I've only dated black guys. I don't recall specifically insulting black men besides, and I didn't even insult him. I pointed out what the black men said about me. So this whole conversation, I've kind of been laying myself out on the line and trying to acknowledge my own, if I have any.
What does a white man have to offer that a black man can offer you? That you have to continue to defend him about his age or whatever it is?
He offers nothing more. I haven't said that.
But he doesn't have anything to offer that you wanted to go out on a date with him. You're interested in him even, but he doesn't have anything to offer you that a black man can. That's what you're saying.
You just said, what more does he have to offer? I don't know. He has something to offer.
A white man has to offer that a black man can't offer you, and he said nothing.
I know, nothing. This white guy, I went out on a date
with him. Okay, so why are you going out on a date with somebody who has nothing to offer you?
That's not just the question. You said what white man has more to offer than the black man? You're not saying that specifically. I'm saying specifically this white guy.
That actually, that wasn't what she said. What she said is she asked you, does the white male have something to offer you that a black male cannot give you? And you said, no, he does not. And then she said, then why are you doing this then? And you said, well, you're saying that the, why am I saying the white male can offer more? No, she said, you're getting the same thing from both of them. So why are you over there in the first place? I think that's what she's asking you.
That's correct.
Well, okay. Well, the white man asked me out. Had a black man asked me out at that time? Yes.
Okay, but here's my question to that. My question to that is, knowing the racial dynamic in this country, and you're going out on a date with this fella, how much does blackness really matter to you? Because I kept asking you over and over again, does your blackness even matter? And you said yes. Now, you were very clear about that, yes. And yet, I'll be at Club Lachey at 9 p.m.
Jason, can I interject for a second? I believe she probably doesn't understand the history of this country or the history in the world as far as
Actually, I think she does. I think
she does. And
if she
wouldn't be voluntarily allowing herself to go out with these people who will clearly never accept her.
No. You have to understand, with these young folk today, young people today believe that they exist in a third class.
Absolutely.
This is a failure of parents to impress upon them that learning the history is not the real problem. They know that racism exists, but they believe, like I said before, if I get this sheet of paper validates me in the white society. I cannot be locked out. Mm-hmm. I have played by all the rules. This paper does not mean that I have a degree in creative writing. This paper means I'm in. In. I obeyed all your rules, I qualified everything, I got all my credits, and now I have a degree in being a creative writer, being white. I mean, being creative writer. And they believe that once they do that, they have a third-class status. That is how you transcend being black. Now, when she gets among white folks, she's talking one way. When she gets among us, she talks another.
No.
Because she believes she has a third class, but most young black people today do. Now, when the police pull them over, they can quote for us the civil rights movement and everything else. But up until then, I'm third class. Up until that moment. But it's not because they don't know. They know. This is a game that they play until they get burned.
Mm-hmm. And
she the only thing she doesn't understand is that she's playing with fire. That's the only thing that she does not understand. She does not get that. She is not admitting that to herself. Now, she can go out on a date with this guy, but everything that she is saying has been deferring to white folks right down to the point that blackness matters to me, but it didn't matter. Blackness mattered to you when a black man asked you, but when you got in a white man's presence, race is never a topic of discussion.
What black man are we talking about?
Me.
Oh. That's what we were talking about. I thought we were talking about in comparison to like a black guy dating a white guy.
And I asked you about blackness and black identity. You called me to ask about black writers. Then you sit up and tell us, oh yeah, by the way, I dated a white fella and black never came up in 4 years. But blackness matters.
Well, Jason, I believe she may not be. Sorry. Can I answer that, Jason?
Say again?
I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is that she's probably not used to coming across somebody who has a sense of direction, like the way you have, and you put her on the spot and asking her these questions, this is what a black man is supposed to do. And this is the kind of challenge that you have to put us black women through so that we can be able to know how to think before we say things. And even when you asked her earlier, about challenging her fellow black women who are acting, out in the streets or acting with extra behavior and things like that. She doesn't have the power. She has the power to do that, but she won't do it because she don't have it for herself. Understand? So when she come across men like you, who are very direct, who are very firm, and put her on the spot, she can answer the questions to the best of her ability. So she will derail and say, well, the chat room or whatever like that. But, again, I come across black women every single day who act out, and I address them every single day. Even if they're going to punch me in my face, no, I will defend myself. But to me, I have a different kind of approach. Yes, my delivery may be strong, and then that becomes a bit online. But to me, I have to address it because the images are being perpetuated by those on TV, preserving them now off of media platform. And we shouldn't have to do that. So the fact that she's actually dating white men, I'm not for integration. I'm actually against integration. That's just me. I don't stand for it. I don't like it. I don't accept it. But to me, I'm just only a black man because I feel like I preserve my blackness, and a black man has more to offer to me than anyone else on the planet. And my blackness is 365/24/7. It's not a turn off button. I don't sugarcoat things for white people. I'm around them. I am who I am. I am black 24/7. And I don't preserve them, and I don't put them in a higher pedestal, and I don't say that I owe them something because I don't owe them anything. In fact, they owe us.
Well, I don't want people looking down on anybody else. You have to operate in a world, and I want people to understand I'm not here to be against anybody. I'm not against white people, white society. I never have been. I am against white supremacy. I am for black empowerment. It's not so much what I'm against, it's what I'm for. I am for black empowerment. What white people are doing becomes literary at that point. It becomes literary. I focus on what we as a people are doing. And when your black identity becomes something that you can shed like a skin, when you're going into a situation where people are known to engage in superfluous behavior with black women, and you had no questions to ask whatsoever, but you took a course that was supposed to be helping you to enhance your ability to analyze things and ask questions and to think creatively. And yet, in this instance, that never crossed your mind. That tells me we got a bigger problem going on there. Bigger problem.
Such as?
We've already explained it. Why don't you tell us what the problem is?
I think what people are perceiving to be the problem is an elevated view of white people. That's all I can see.
You're monitoring chat room again.
No, I got off. I was for a little bit, but I'm not.
Okay.
But I think that's it.
Okay, but we're going off of your words. So unless you said something to us that was deliberately false, I'm going off your words.
I feel like if that were the case, I wouldn't have even called in because I'd be wanting to live in my own little la-la land.
And that's not what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you do believe, that's what I was saying before, I think you do believe these things. I think that you believe it while you're here, but your actions belie what you actually think. Because you're saying what is necessary here, and then you're telling us, oh yeah, by the way, when I'm not here, when I'm at the Black Channel, I prefer to be black, but when I'm at work, I prefer to be other, like the Dos Equis commercials. I'm not always non-black, but when I am, I'm at work. That's the kind of thing that I'm looking at, because if it doesn't matter to you, talking to a white male from the state of Texas, if it doesn't matter to you that he may have ulterior motives for dating a black female, then how can I believe that you are going to be able to communicate to other black women in any meaningful way when obviously you have not solidified your racial identity yet? Just as a defense mechanism at this point, just a way to keep as a safety mechanism. How am I going to believe that you're going to raise a black daughter to take care of herself when you can't take care of yourself? Because you were we had this discussion mentioning how people raise their children and how that contributes to an atmosphere of ignorance. But you've already proudly told us that I wouldn't actually do anything. But my daughter will not be like me. I will make her different. You have to. What I'm saying is that based on what I'm hearing from here, some of those questions that you are asking, you'll have an opportunity now to, as you said before, to reflect on them. And maybe if you come up with the solutions with yourself, it'll make it easier for you to communicate to other black women. I want you to learn from tonight so that when you meet other black women and you can now identify those behaviors, you can start checking them on that too, because you've been there. And you saw how what you thought you were doing was A-okay. Now, as far as your motives, I'm not going to get into that. You have to deal with yourself for your motives or why you are selectively blind about these things. I'm not going to get into your motives, but what I am going to tell you is that you need to analyze those too. Because you made it very clear that black is important to you, but it's not important all the time. In a situation like that, I'm not saying walk through the door like Sister Soldier. But what I am saying is that that was a basic question to ask. You did not ask that question because you did not hurt your chances of having another date with him. You didn't ask because you did not want to know. That's real truth. You did not want to know. After all, he did you the favor and the honor and indebted you by going out with you in the first place. I have arrived. This degree was worth something. I have transcended my blackness. That's what you get for $30,000. Everything went out the window. You were like, I'm not going to screw this up. I'm not going to say anything that's going to make him upset me. I waited 4 years to get to this point. I am in. What about your blackness? Damn that. I'll put that on when I leave. But I'm here. We doing this right now. And I'm saying that if you look at your behaviors, I think you'll start to recognize that. Those are some things I want you to think about. And that will bring you back around to why black people write the way they do. They write the way they do because of how they raise their children. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Because your children are a product of what you value. And if the only black people who can write worth a damn see themselves through the eyes of the dominant society, no wonder your movies and your TV shows ain't worth nothing. Shonda Rhimes can write. She can write incoherent sentences, and she sees herself through the eyes of white society. And everything she writes gravitates back to them. If you take a look at your own life, you'll start to see the answers to the things that you're asking. That's why I went through that whole long thing about that. Ms. Rhymes takes off her blackness like a jacket. She only puts it on when she's in a room full of all black people. And you've seen for yourself how easy that can be to do. And all the little fables we tell ourselves along the way that get us to do it in good conscience so we can come back and do it again tomorrow. And depending on where we are, that will determine what answer we give. I want you to be a credit. I want you to be an asset to black society. But that's not going to happen if you don't identify yourself as a black person and you say that, well, I'm not going to do this because this will make white folk feel uncomfortable with me. I didn't even say you had to bring up blackness on a daily basis. But if you're going out in an intimate setting with somebody, yeah, they want to get to know you like that. So he can get to know you like that, but blackness can never, when a person's getting to know you like that, blackness isn't a part of getting to know you. That wasn't a requisite. But you even stated that your black male friend brought that up as an issue with you about how you talk to white folk. And what I'm saying is I want everybody to start analyzing and recognizing these behaviors because we influence the environment around us whether we know or not. And there are other black females at your job watching you at a restaurant, whatever, and they're watching your example. They're hearing your conversations, and they are recognizing, I want a white man, don't bring up blackness. Bury that mess. Ah, I couldn't get the white guy. I guess I'll go back and talk to these Negro males over here. Black first, black power. Black first, black power. Oh, wait a minute. Troy showed up. Bye, y'all. No, I don't do that blackness stuff. We don't need to talk about that. Troy's gone again. Get back over here. Black first, black power. I am a proud black woman. I'm proud to be black. You're in the chat room again, Sydney. Every time I speak, every time I go somewhere, I represent my people. I don't have to say anything. Just my very presence and how I behave demonstrates to them what a black man is. I behave as if I'm being watched by white people, even if I'm in a room full of all black people. I stay on my game 24/7 about that. And I want you to do the same thing. If you're really serious about all these things you say, if you really want that, let me tell you, as a guy who used to live in Dallas, you ain't talking like a black person from Dallas, Texas. I guess you're waiting for the police to pull you over. But let me tell you, in Texas, they don't have a very good track record when it comes to pulling black females over. And if you're waiting for that to happen, before you get, forget that black jacket, you get black tattoos, something you can't take off. If you're waiting for that to happen, let me tell you, you're putting yourself in a bad position. I want you to reanalyze what you think black is. I want you to reanalyze how important it really is to you. And I want you to think about the example that you're setting. And that will allow you to look at females and look at the example that they are setting for their children. And then it will allow you to determine why their children can't write a story worth a damn. Starting with the value system that they were given. And maybe if you straighten out your own value system, maybe you'll start to understand why theirs is messed up and why you got the situation that you got. Now, look, 22 years old, okay? Nobody is expecting you to have it all figured out and to have everything straight at 22, okay? Nobody is. And let me say this before you go here, because I got to wrap things up here shortly. You are not, we are your friends. You're among family here. And your family is not, we are a family that actually loves you. I'm not going to let my sister go out there any old kind of way. All right?
Okay.
I'm not letting you go out there any old kind of way. I was in high school before you were born. And I, about that time was when I started going to Dallas. I know where you're at there. I know about the West End and North Side. And South Side, by the way. I mean, I can start naming freeways and stuff to LBJ and all that crap. I ain't going to do it. I'm like, now you know I know what I'm talking about when I say the LBJ. I didn't say the highway number. I said the LBJ. So, of course, okay, he ain't getting his way through this. And every time I go back there, they're always busting up the LBJ.
I know.
Every time you go there, they're always repaving it. I just started one end, they go the other one as soon as they finish. Back again. They repave it again. All right, go back in one more time. What, really? I swear, that's what they do. They pave it, and when they get to the end of it, they just go back to the beginning and do it all over again. All right, now you know what time it is. Don't even get me on 635.
Oh, God.
Don't even get me started about that. 5 in the morning until 11 in the afternoon. Don't even get me started. Okay, have I validated for you? I know them streets. I know that place. And you are talking in a way that it's like somebody who just dropped in from Mars. Baby, lose that. You've learned to communicate outside of your people. That's fine. But at this point, you need to start being cognizant of it.
Okay.
But we're family here, okay? Everybody here is for you. Ain't nobody here against you. Everybody here is for you. And if you were my own sister, I would have the conversation I had with you tonight. If you were my own sister, because you are.
Got a lot of thinking to do.
I'll let you have the last word.
Well, I'm feeling some kind of way, and it's a good kind of way, but I gotta analyze it. But I'm definitely gonna keep listening. I've already turned a few people onto your show, and I gotta.
Have you contributed to 7 a.m. yet?
No, I haven't yet. I have to.
I want you to be a producer. I want you to be a producer on this project. I'll be able to put your name on it.
Really?
Yes, really. Would I have said it if it wasn't? Mona's a producer.
How do you become a producer?
It depends on what level of contribution that you give. I've even got one where you can meet me if you want to. Don't take that one.
What?
I don't like meeting people. I'm not a people person. I'm really not. So everybody out there, do everything except that meet me one. I swear to God, I had no idea. But everybody take everything except the meet me one. I've already got a few people I'm supposed to meet. I'm a guy who don't like hanging out with people, so I had the bright idea of making one of the perks to hang out with people.
I'm going to click that one then. Where do I find the link?
Oh, you ain't. It's in the chat room. Ambush just put it in the chat room.
Well, now I got to go back to the chat room.
Yeah. Did you ever leave?
I did. The last time I left.
Well, go back in there real quick. I'll go ahead and post it up again here in a moment when you get there. Just let me know when you're there.
Okay. I see it.
Okay, that's the link there. You can go click on it. It takes you there, and it's got a YouTube video embedded on it. And if you go to YouTube, it you can see some of the other pages that are there as well. You said you had a Facebook. I know if you have a job that's sensitive and stuff like that, you might not want to have that. But if nothing else, be there so that we can communicate with you, okay?
Okay.
Just if nothing else. Now, be careful, because you're going to find out that they monitor you when you start doing that. But I want you to be with folk who are for you, okay? And I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm for you. And I want to make sure that I'm not going to sit here and have you go off walking into a situation because your parents didn't sit down and have these talks with you, and then you are mad as hell at 28 and mad at your parents because y'all sent me to these schools, but y'all did not educate me about racism and white supremacy. You had me thinking we're all Americans, and I'm sitting down here in Dallas Dam County Jail. Or I got fired and found out that all the people sitting around the table to fire me were white. That's when you find out, oh, I'm not that third class. Why didn't anybody ever tell me this? Because I thought I was in. And I figured he asked me on a date, so that must mean when a white male asks you on a date, that means the same thing as when a black male does it. It ain't no different. If it was a black man, you would have said, yeah, if I said it was a black man and he just wants some ass, you would have been like, yeah. If it was a white guy and you said, well, he has romantic interests. When a black man wants some sex, it's never called romantic interests.
Oh.
We never get that one. It's just he wants ass.
That's not true. No one asked me about black guys I dated, have they? I would have said the same thing. Nice stuff.
Well, we talked to you tonight. We ain't feeling too in now. But I'll let you go ahead and have the last word, sister, and I'll wrap up with everybody here. We only got a couple more minutes before it's going to cut y'all off again.
Keep doing what you're doing. I don't want to sound cliche, but I feel like my life has been changed in some way by tonight, and I'm going to keep listening. I'm going to watch more of the 7 a.m. videos.
Oh, shucks. She's having the Oprah Winfrey moment, y'all.
It hit me hard.
Changed my life. All right. Mona, Dira, y'all got anything else to say?
Black first.
Okay, well, she blinked on us again here. All right, brothers and sisters from around the world, and thank you very much for checking in with us in Sydney, because a lot of people are going to learn from this conversation tonight from both sides of it, and I want you to make sure you give us a call again, okay?
I will.
And next time when you call in, turn off the chat window, girl. Don't do that, because I know how they get up. Y'all see something about me up in there, and I can ban them. And they talk crazy about me, so don't y'all know I can ban you? Yeah, we know it. I'm talking about you anyway. Really? Unruly. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.